Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 21st September 2020, and we're discussing the key themes for the FX financial markets this week. So, Derek, what are the key themes at the start of the week for the FX financial markets?
Well, I think COVID is definitely back in focus, and you know we're seeing a disappointing start to the week in terms of general risk. So European equity markets and UK markets are down, and your kind of traditional stocks that would perform badly in COVID, airlines and catering, etc., you know, they're performing badly. So it does look like COVID is back in focus, and no more so than here in the UK. And we are essentially now awaiting an update from Prime Minister Johnson in terms of a further escalation into lockdown. We already have about 20% of England in lockdown, and there's pressure now building on further lockdowns, and for London particularly to go into tighter restrictions. So I think you know, the pound is down about 0.5%. It's slightly underperforming in a G10 perspective, but I think there's definitely scope for that underperformance to kind of continue, because of course in the backdrop of the COVID concerns and the immediate growth impact of increased lockdowns, we do also have the obvious Brexit scenario brewing. And I think it's all kind of lending into greater prospects for negative rates coming in the UK. And I think from an FX perspective, this could be very, very significant. Now, we're not expecting negative rates anytime soon. By that, I mean this year. The Bank of England have made clear that there's a consultation process that will begin between the Bank of England and the PRA in order to improve preparation for potentially implementing negative rates. And that only begins in the fourth quarter. So I think we can probably rule out negative rates this year, but certainly by February 2021, when we have an update of the monetary policy report and the inflation projections, that's potentially 4 months of consultation. So we could be at that point in a situation where the Bank of England could be happy or comfortable with the idea of adopting negative rates. And obviously, if we're in a situation where there's been no trade deal with Europe and we're back to WTO, then it's, I think, very likely. I think even if we do get a trade deal, it's now looking more and more likely to be a bare bones trade deal with the very basics in place. And that could still be enough for the Bank of England to justify certainly a rate cut and potentially negative rates at that meeting in February. So I would definitely differentiate the UK from other countries that have adopted negative rates. And I think this is really important from an FX perspective. You know, you've got the likes of Switzerland, Japan, the Eurozone, where Sweden, where you've had those countries by and large with substantial current account surpluses and historically low levels of inflation, certainly obviously Japan, Switzerland and the Eurozone. So the backdrop fundamentally from an FX perspective on adopting negative rates is, you know, there are some supportive factors, whereas that's just not going to be the case here in the UK. You have obviously a pretty substantial current account deficit. The five-year inflation swaps market tells you that historically inflation has been higher in the UK, and actual inflation indicates that as well. So the potential hit from an FX perspective, I think, is much more significant for the pound than it is for the other currencies that we're used to that have adopted negative rates. So I do think that realization, if it continues to build, will certainly result in further selling of the pound and continued underperformance. So that's I think, a big issue to watch. We've got Governor Bailey speaking tomorrow. So I think that's a speech that we should listen to quite closely in terms of an update on what was provided in the minutes from the Bank of England meeting last week.
And is there anything else we should look out for, Derek, as this week unfolds?
Well, again, like first thing this morning, you know, risk was reasonable, but has kind of deteriorated as the London morning has unfolded. And I've mentioned the COVID aspect coming more into focus. But I think also the political backdrop in the US could be playing a role here as well. So, you know, over the weekend, most listeners will probably have seen or heard that Ruth Bader Ginsburg unfortunately passed away, and that has opened up a seat to be filled on the Supreme Court. And it has the recipe for really escalating partisan politics into the election on the 3rd of November. Trump has indicated that he's going to nominate somebody. Mitch McConnell in the Senate has indicated that he will be happy to approve quite quickly, despite the fact that when President Obama tried to do the same in 2016, Mitch McConnell said he should, or we should, wait until after the election. He's justified his turnaround given the fact that the White House and the Senate are both held by the Republican Party. So he thinks that's justification for getting somebody approved quickly. Now, the Democrats have said if that does happen, that if they win the Senate and the election and the White House, that they will, quote, pack the Supreme Court by removing the 9-seat cap and filling additional seats with Democrat appointed judges. So, you know, this whole situation could really escalate over the coming weeks, and it does create this kind of nasty backdrop, which was already obviously going to be pretty bad going into the election. And I would also add on top of that it could potentially benefit President Trump. Anything that deflects from the primary focus, which of course is COVID and the impact of COVID on people's lives and on the economy, anything that deflects away from that could actually benefit President Trump. And undoubtedly they will try and do that. And that could help him in the polls, and any evidence of him making advances that results in increased fears of an unresolved election result on the 3rd of November is all, I think, very, very negative. Now, in of itself, I would argue that's US dollar negative. But like today, in the backdrop of risk dropping, equity markets falling, you know, that in of itself is dollar supportive. So there's a mix of cross currents here in terms of how FX plays out. I would certainly say medium term, it's dollar negative, but in the context of equity markets falling, it can help to lift the dollar versus certain currencies for sure.
And how do you square all of this with the near term outlook for the FX markets? And what does it mean for your trade ideas, Derek?
Yeah, it's tricky because, as I said, there's a kind of a mix of cross currents. Certain developments, politics in the US, I would deem as dollar negative. But if that's coupled with equity markets falling, that's obviously potentially dollar positive. I think that the safest play in all of this is long Japanese yen. And, you know, dollar yen again is dropping today. The yen crosses. Kiwi yen is down over 1% as I speak. Sterling yen down over 1%. All the yen crosses are dropping and the Japanese yen is strengthening. And in that kind of confusing backdrop on whether it's going to lift the dollar more generally or not, I think it's safe to assume that dollar yen will drop and the yen will outperform. And I think that's where my bias would be in terms of the developments that we've had first thing this morning. I think also I would add on top of that, you know, the Chinese yuan has been outperforming. Dollar CNY has been dropping. Before the risk off reemerged this morning, dollar CNY was down. And China is showing the benefits of not having any kind of substantial second wave of COVID. And the OECD last week, for example, upgraded its growth forecast for China for positive calendar year growth. something that, you know, is just not going to happen in any of the major developed economies. And therefore, there is this positive backdrop for China, which means Asia generally could outperform in a backdrop of risk off. And therefore, if you want to look at currencies that that could be more isolated than others, you know, it could be Asia that gets through this better than other regions. So I would expect that to kind of be reflected in FX performance as well in the Asian region. Our trades, we had a short euro Japanese yen. That's actually hit our target level this morning. So we've closed that, having hit our desired target. We've also got long dollar versus the Czech koruna, a reflection of deteriorating developments in Europe, and we'd expect that to continue to move in our favour as well. And then we're short the pound against the Norwegian krone. Unfortunately, the Norwegian krone is underperforming in this backdrop of risk off. But yeah, I would still expect sterling to underperform versus most other currencies.
Right, thanks very much for that insight, Derek. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Thank you. And you, Una.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from our Global Markets research team.